We swim in an ocean of feedback, bosses, colleagues, customers, but also family, friends, and in-laws. They all have suggestions for our performance, parenting, or appearance. We know that feedback is essential for healthy relationships and professional development, but we dread it and often dismiss it. Thanks for the feedback addresses this tension head-on. It explains why getting feedback is so crucial yet so challenging and offers a powerful framework to help us take on life's blizzard of offhand comments, annual evaluations, and unsolicited advice with curiosity and grace. Douglas Stone and Sheila Heen are co-authors of the bestseller Difficult Conversations, How to Discuss What Matters Most, principals at Triad Consulting, and have been teaching negotiation at Harvard Law School for 20 years. Again, the new book, Thanks for the Feedback, The Science and Art of Receiving Feedback Well. It is published by Viking. Douglas and Sheila, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
And thanks, Joe, for a lovely introduction. Just a little bit of feedback for you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Why do you think our default is to kind of have our hackles raised a bit when we get feedback?
That's such a great question. I mean, I think that feedback really sits at the junction of two core human needs. On the one hand, we human beings are wired to learn and to grow and to achieve mastery. I mean, it's one of the reasons that why we pick up hobbies in retirement, because improving at something was deeply satisfying. But at the same time, we also have a pretty deeply wired human need to be accepted and respected and loved just the way we are now. And the very fact of giving feedback suggests that how you are now is not quite A-okay.
So when it comes to that, how much of that is subjective, do you think, and how much of it has to be? I guess the question, you know, you want to take it that the feedback that you're getting is accurate, right? So because that's a whole issue, right, of whether
when people hear that we're writing a book about receiving feedback, they assume that our advice is going to be that you should always take the feedback, and that's actually not right. I mean, obviously, if someone gives you feedback and it's just wrong, like it could be factually wrong, or it could just be subjectively off. Maybe they're giving you coaching on something that just isn't what you're working on right now, or it doesn't fit who you are, then it doesn't make sense to take the feedback. One of the real challenges of taking feedback well is that process of sorting what actually is right and fair and what's going to help me versus what is just actually off target for me.
So when it comes to, let me ask you about the subtitle of the book, The Science and Art of Receiving Feedback Well. So let's go with the science part first. Scientifically, what do we know about how we give it and how we receive it?
Well, one of the most interesting things that has come out in recent years about neuroscience is the extent to which each of us as individuals is wired really differently, and that has profound implications when it comes to our sensitivity to feedback. There's evidence now that individuals can vary as much as 3,000% in terms of how far you swing emotionally in the wake of positive or negative feedback and how long it takes you to recover. And that has real implications on a team or in a family. If I'm relatively insensitive and even keel about feedback, nothing bothers me too much, and I'm giving you feedback and you're very sensitive, well, how I give is going to be influenced by what I assume will be upsetting or not upsetting, right? And so I don't understand why you're so upset, and I just tell you that I have additional feedback for you, which is that you need to not be so oversensitive and, you know, get a thicker skin. So that it can actually compound the challenge of feedback between individuals with very different profiles.
I was talking to a teacher recently who had been teaching for about 20 years, and they said the big difference in education, this is anecdotal, of course, but the big difference in education is that 10, 15 years ago, you would call a parent and tell them about an issue, and the parent would say, I will talk to my child and it will be taken care of. And now the attitude is more, well, it's because you're a lousy teacher. And so I bring it up because, again, it's anecdotal, but is there some evidence to that we have become a little more strident in the way we behave and not as willing to accept feedback?
my brother, I'm laughing because my brother is a high school teacher. And so I hear these challenging stories all the time. I think in the context of a school, it's just rife with feedback where parents are giving teachers feedback and teachers are giving parents feedback. And, you know, I don't know the statistics about whether the pendulum has swung in terms of how we apportion blame. But from our point of view, you know, it's a great example of that's why it's so important to have these quality conversations around this, where in any kind of situation like that, where the student is struggling in some way, it's going to be partly, it's got to have something to do with the teacher, and it's got to have something to do with the parent. And so it's not a matter of either or, you know, is it you or is it us? It's a matter of both people looking at the problem together and saying, so what are we doing that might be contributing to this? What are you doing that might be contributing to this? And how can we fix this going forward?
And I would add one thing to that, which is your kid is going to learn more about how to learn or block their own learning from watching how you handle the feedback that you get and the feedback you get about them than any lecture you're going to give them. So if you show them that you can take any challenge, a bad grade, a critical parent-teacher conference, and look for what to learn from it, you're going to accelerate their learning, no matter whose contribution is in the mix, by showing them how to respond to adversity.
I guess I'm curious about more, less about education overall, and more about our mindset of a culture where would you have written this book 20 or 30 years ago?
Oh, sure. Well, that's... Go ahead, John.
Well, maybe not you guys, because you only would have been 10, but you know what I mean.
Oh, I like that. That's true, but I like that a lot. I mean, I think that there is something to what you're saying, which is that, and you see it in the media, which is that there's less of a sort of what's legitimate about what you're saying culture and a much more of a what can I attack about what you're saying culture. And there's a funny way in which overachievers can be particularly brittle or sensitive to feedback because they get the message that they're supposed to be doing everything beautifully, and because you do so many things well, the criticisms maybe are even more upsetting because you feel like, oh, I should have learned this by now. And so I do think that maybe we're more brittle than we were 20 years ago as a culture.
So let's get to the art part then. So in receiving in the art of receiving feedback well, how open-minded should we be? How eager should we be to hear someone else's opinions on our work? And as we brought up in the beginning, of weighing what is right for us and what is not.
Yeah, so that really depends what your purpose is in getting feedback. So if you're working on a project and you're at the very beginning, and what you want in terms of feedback is somebody to sort of encourage you, then you need to say that to the other person, the person that you're asking for feedback from, and let them know exactly what's going to be helpful to you in this context. If you're further along and what you really need is some, you know, if let's say you're writing an article or something and you need somebody to edit it, give you serious direct feedback, then that's what's going to be helpful. So it really comes down to sort of where are you at and what's going to be helpful, and then having that conversation with the other person. So often we engage in feedback and we're just running blind. We don't know exactly what the other person wants from us when we're giving it. We don't talk about what we want from the other person when we're receiving it. And it's as if we're operating from this rule that we're not allowed to actually talk about that. We can give each other feedback, but we're not allowed to talk about how we give each other feedback. But there is no such rule.
Should there be?
I think there should be a rule that we should talk about these things, that one of the most helpful things that you can do is have a conversation about, as Sheila was saying, sort of our own individual tendencies. So if I happen to be particularly sensitive to feedback, that would be good for my boss or my supervisor to know, or my spouse. There's other people, their footprint is that they need to be hit over the head with feedback or they just don't even hear it. And so not just having the feedback conversation, but having the conversation about how we talk about feedback can be one of the most helpful things that you can do.
So there's a way in which we all need our own individual rules or guidelines for those around us that would actually help us hear what they have to say.
Yeah. There was a there's a part in the book that I found really interesting, and you allude to it even at the beginning of the book about, you know, so often the feedback is so poorly delivered that we don't finesse it, we don't do it in a proper way, which of course is part of the problem. It may not be it's not necessarily the message, but the way that the message was conveyed, and that's a huge. That's a huge thing, isn't it?
It's a huge thing, and it's the most common way that people dismiss feedback is they say, oh, geez, like, look at who gave it, right? First
right.
of all, let's start with the who. And, you know, where they gave it and when they gave it was totally inappropriate, and how they gave it was pathetic, like by text. And we use all of that to actually dismiss the feedback itself because it's easier to complain about what's wrong with it than to actually hear what might be right about it.
Do most of us, I mean, I have to say, in having this job of being on the radio, people offer a lot of feedback, and you get a lot of emails, both yes. lovely and beautiful and nice, and then the opposite of that.
Can you tell us the craziest you've ever gotten?
Well, I mean, some people just say, you know, you say, I hate the sound of your voice, and you know, you should just die. So, okay, well, that's not really feedback.
And you're taking that as a negative.
Yeah, I know. I know. I shouldn't. But my question is that I am able, I think, in most cases, to look at something, and it can raise your hackles a little bit. But by the same token, if you see truth in it, that there is that admission. Do most of us have that, where there is that admission and say, okay, well, this is fair. This is something where I see where you're absolutely right. That's not to say that you can't defend yourself or you can't maybe go off on it, but there is an understanding as to the core of the issue is something that you say, okay, you got me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's that sorting process that we were talking about earlier, where even something crazy like, I don't like the sound of your voice and you should die, you know, that's sort of a nutty venting kind of piece of feedback.
Right.
But if you can find something useful in it for you, then that's actually good for you. If you can ask yourself, so is there something I sometimes do with my voice that I could change or work on? Then that's actually a good thing. So it's if you can sort of get past the crazy part or the part that would knock us over because it's so upsetting in some way, and then ask yourself, is there actual advice or coaching in this that I would benefit from?
It's a fascinating book. It is entitled Thanks for the Feedback, The Science and Art of Receiving Feedback Well. It is published by Viking. Douglas Stone and Sheila Heen, I thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure.
Thanks.
And you had a lovely voice.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the feedback. Thank you. Again, the title, Thanks for the Feedback, published by Viking. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.